Hello, welcome to Charity Chat. I'm your host, Samuel Davies. In this episode, we speak with Jess Denny, Head of Comms and Marketing at Zapien. We speak about prospect research, the ethical dilemmas that arise, the challenges that charities face engaging with and encouraging support from major donors, and the growing use of AI and the opportunities that it offers. This episode of Charity Chat has been brought to you by our platinum sponsor, Work for Good. Work for Good is a fundraising platform helping businesses raise funds for charities through their sales. The platform makes the legal agreement needed for businesses to fundraise from sales quick and simple, saving charities time and resource and enabling them to raise more unrestricted income. Pop to workforgood.co.uk to learn more and to book a free demo. So without further ado, here is Jess Denny speaking to us about prospect research. I'm delighted to be joined by Jess Denny, Head of Comms and Marketing at Zapien. Jess, welcome to Charity Chat.
Hi, Sam. Great to be here. How are you doing?
So we're recording this in May 2023. Jess, maybe if you can tell us, our listeners, a little bit about your background and what's led you to where you are as Head of Comms and Marketing at Zapien.
Yeah, so I was actually a former client of Zapien's, working at a corporate intelligence or risk consultancy company where we ran a lot of investigations on high profile individuals and organizations, effectively for other public or private entities, which covered due diligence, deep investigations, a whole range of different things, united, I suppose, in open source intelligence gathering. And I'd been there a while looking at lots of different tools out there in the marketplace, designed to help humans gather more information, because effectively these days searching the internet and finding open source or internet information is really a robot's job. It's not something that can be done entirely manually. And looking at different tools that can do that and ways to drive efficiencies with it, as well as just to uncover the right information that you need. Anyway, so I worked with a whole range of different tools and platforms and met the co-founders of Zapien in a different sort of world, and when they came to the idea of Zapien, this kind of tool that was going to automate a huge amount of that manual research process, we kind of helped coax them along the journey. But anyway, I had other background in comms and marketing, and so then in about 18 months ago, I jumped ship and joined Zapien, and it's been really, really exciting watching and learning about all the different applications from it. Especially in the nonprofit sector.
And with the nonprofit sector, have you got a kind of a background interest in the nonprofit sector? Have you worked or supported or benefited from charities in the past?
Yeah, so I began my career in Paris, worked in a communications role at a nonprofit company that was working to fight sort of blindness in North Africa. So I guess that's where I began my career, and then have various sort of personal interests. I ran the London Marathon for an organization called Operation Smile a couple of years ago. They help people, again, across mainly Africa, I think all over the world, with cleft lip and palates, because it's something that I had as a child.
We talked a little bit about charities, and I know you work with charities now. So what situations do charities undertake background research on individuals, and what are the challenges and ethical dilemmas that they might face?
Yeah, so really I think there's two core reasons, which are reputational risk or other risk-related items, and then actually prosper research. And in many organisations, those sometimes kind of come under the same hat. But if we look at the reputational risk use case, that's, again, it can be under the banner of sort of due diligence. And obviously there are charity commission obligations there around know your donor, know your beneficiaries, know your partner. And that's all about protecting charities from harm and the sector at large, which is really built on trust and altruism. So it's important to know the the donors, beneficiaries, or partners that a charity might work with in order to build that trust in the sector and know that the sources of funds and where the funds are going are all generated and donated by ethical means. And that requires quite a lot of research in order to really know your donor or know a partner that you might work with. There's sort of, you know, you could, there's only, you need to verify the information that they might provide you. And that's quite an involved research process. And it's also, this is also about, there are risks involved with sort of becoming associated with the wrong organizations or people. But it's also about growth and growing the brand of the charity as well, and making sure that you're associated with the right people. Or right is a very strong term. I guess every organization has its own policies and ethics, and therefore their own kind of risk assessment criteria. But you need to make sure that you are aligning your organization with entities and individuals who you and your stakeholders, your trustees, other donors would be happy to be aligned with. And that's a very nuanced question. And so then I suppose the second piece is with Prosper Research. And that's about finding, not just finding new donors, but finding information about potential donors. I think both of these things, it's important to mention, this is mainly working at the kind of major donor level or partner level, where whoever you're associating with, there's going to be a significant amount donated, and or there will be some kind of public knowledge about this, whether they talk about it, you talk about it, whatever that is. But I think, yeah, so I think when it comes to prospect research, there's an element to which you're trying to find new donors. But also when you're dealing at that kind of high major donor level, the more you know about someone, the more you can engage with them. It's a very personal touch. And actually, yes, a lot of that is done by meeting in person. But these days, a lot of that is also about what you can find out about them online, just knowing the kinds of things that they're interested in, a bit about their reputation, can really help to accelerate those early donor conversations.
And I guess it makes sense that charities are, often looking to tailor the ask in terms of when they're talking to supporters. And I guess that helps with that, doesn't it? Because I guess if I know that somebody is interested in specific parts of my work, then that's what I'll talk to them about, presumably. And as you say, kind of speed up the process of building a rapport and building a relationship with that person.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Because you can see, you might see that they've donated to another charity in the conservation space, and that's something that you're working on, then there's no reason why that wouldn't be of interest. There's a huge amount of information that some people might find terrifying, but as long as it's used in an ethical way, there's a huge amount of valuable information that can help about timing the ask, what the ask is, but just generally building a relationship, knowing where someone went to university might seem irrelevant, but actually if you went to university there or someone else did, it's a point of connection that you can then talk to them about.
There's ethical fundraising policies. I know that That's something we've talked about on the podcast before, that charities should think about that. Obviously, there are data protection rules and regulations that charities need to be aware of and be following. And it sounds like the kind of the prospect search world that we're talking about today is charities need to be aware of those issues and make sure that what they're doing, like everything, I suppose, is in line with their internal policies and procedures.
Yes, exactly. So I think firstly on sort of data protection issues, that's something that comes up a lot. That's particularly as an AI company, people say, hang on, this is a massive GDPR concern, finding all this information. So we as an organization are not finding anything that is not open source public information out there online that people are obviously in some, you know, that are sharing with the world. So that's really just good practice doing your due diligence. But yes, and then I think you were saying about how Prospect Research is about checking your risks and growing the fundraising practice. And it's something that, so one of our clients, they were saying how I mentioned earlier how researching the internet is a robot's job, basically. And I think part of that, particularly when looking at different risks that your organization might be exposed to, is just that there are so many new hot button issues that emerge all the time. It's not a tick box exercise. It really requires research and analysis to make decisions about how you navigate that. So it's looking at the risks and the opportunities in a partnership or a donation, and then being able to assess the pros and cons, making an informed assessment. And if you spend too much time trying to gather the information, you kind of lose track, and it's quite hard to just make a judgment call, I think.
Yeah.
So you need the tools to support you to get that information, and then the human makes that. And the organization makes that judgment call based. So the human makes it based on what the organization's core principles are.
There's a pressure on charities as well to obviously make the be as efficient as possible with their resources, right? And with, you know, there's a pressure on charities not to spend too much money on the admin side of the business, you know. And I guess that's part of it, isn't it? It's kind of finding an efficient way of maximizing fundraising so that you can do better work and more work.
That's exactly it. And that's, you know, more broadly, that's how I would see the role of AI is to really drive efficiencies in human work. So it's not about replacing people's jobs. They're still going to have to take the core decisions about, in our case, the kind of information that is provided. But it's just making that way more efficient and in a way enabling the humans to providing some clarity so that those decisions can be made as opposed to sort of getting lost in a web of information. Another one of our clients, Dartmouth College, actually, so it's a university, but one of the senior leadership team there said that the job titles for his analyst team are strategic analysts. Hmm. But he said, quite frankly, prior to working with an AI tool, they weren't really doing much strategy. It was all just research. Whereas now, using AI to gather the research, they can actually start making providing strategic advice on top of what the AI can find.
As the internet evolves, and as more data is available to us all, are you seeing AI as in itself developing and growing and evolving to meet those challenges to continue to drive the right data to charities?
Effectively, the problem that Sapien came into the world to solve is the exponential growth of internet data and information, and the fact that that has become completely unmanageable from a manual research perspective. A search engine result can deliver millions of results in 0.003 seconds, but then there's 4 hours work minimum to read, analyze, assess what to do with all that information and decide what is about your person, what is not about your person, what is relevant, and what then what's going to be risky, what's not going to be risky. All of that is a huge volume of work these days. And yeah, as we were saying, the internet is only going to grow. More data is going to become available. So it's important to get the right tooling in place to help with that. And to let the AI do the sort of grunt work that the human doesn't need to do, to make the micro decisions about what is about your person and what is not about your person. But the bigger, more strategic decisions, that's where the human comes in.
And as part of your work, do you come across the challenge that I think a lot of fundraisers face, which is convincing senior leadership teams or board of trustees to invest in things like prospect research, where presumably the result of that work they're not going to see in terms of a big donation in the short term?
The prospect research teams and the due diligence teams are often more removed from the fundraising teams than seems to make sense to me. And we've been running some networking events actually for prospect development. And one of the things that people really like is when we get fundraisers to come in and talk to them about what's useful for fundraisers and kind of draw those two teams together, because ultimately they should be working more closely and they're all working for that same initiatives. But I think often it depends how big the organization is, but those things can get siloed. You know, ultimately the whole organization should be geared up to be growing the fundraising capacity and delivering all the good work that they do.
And I guess really over the last couple of years, certainly I've seen, I think some of our previous episodes have talked about it, but there's a growth in terms of philanthropic giving, kind of the major donor, high net worth individual giving. So are you seeing a response to that in terms of the number of charities that are working with you?
Yeah, definitely. So we went to the major donor conference, the Chartered Institute of Fundraising's major donor conference this year. And it was amazing there listening to how many charities. There are a lot that have always been doing this. But I think, you know, with the cost of living crisis, it's interesting. It means that lots of people have a bit less money in their pockets, so they're less likely to give the odd tenner here or there. But the very wealthy are still very wealthy. And so there's been a sort of refocus on major giving. And that's exactly where people are suddenly thinking, how do I do this? From a prospect research perspective and from a risk perspective. And how do I do this scalably when I'm a small organization? And that's exactly where the role of a tool like Zapier or AI in general can come in.
Trends and threats are you seeing that might mean that charities need to pay closer attention to prospect research and reputational risk management?
Yeah, so I think this goes back to something we've mentioned, where it's really the just rapidly evolving risk landscape. There are just new and different risks all the time, and that is combined with the explosion of internet information and publicly available data, which means that there are more emergent risks, but also the stakeholders, whether that's volunteers, donors, other you know, your trustees, now have access to information to hold organizations to account, which is a good thing, really. But with that comes a big responsibility for organizations to find that data themselves and use it and make the right decisions off the back of it. It's almost increasingly negligent if you don't do some background research. And that can be really challenging for small organisations, I think.
Jess Denny, thank you for contributing to Charity Chat.
Thanks very much, Sam. Great to be here.
Big thank you to Jess Denny for sharing her insights and expertise with us here on Charity Chat. At its most simple, prospect research could be boiled down to understanding who is most suited to support our cause. This needs to be looked at from both the charity and supporter perspectives, almost operating as some form of a dating site, putting those who are most compatible together. Like any research, the time taken can be hard to justify given the long lead time before seeing a financial gain, especially for organisations who are new to it. Benchmarking with other charities who have an existing major donor programme may be one way to go to help get buy-in from leadership in your organisation for the inevitable resource and monetary costs that it may well incur. Like all forms of fundraising, the adage holds that with no risk comes no reward. The changes of success will depend on how clear your organisation's approach is and how ready you are to answer the question, what are you trying to do? A clear vision and mission for your charity is crucial, as is an organisational agreement on the risk of spending time and money on researching prospective supporters. A clear ethical fundraising policy with agreement from your board is also important to ensure that your fundraisers are clear on who they shouldn't be approaching. Jess talked about organisations who are now using AI to sift through mountains of data that are now publicly available, leaving skilled fundraisers to make strategic decisions about the data. Getting machines to do the grunt work and focusing our teams on the creative and human interface work is something we have started talking about a lot on the podcast. And the benefits of this, whether that's monetary or more efficient working practices, have the added benefit of giving colleagues a new opportunity to find better job satisfaction. So thank you, dear listener, for getting this far with us. We hope you enjoyed this episode and continue to enjoy the podcast. We'd love to hear either way. Please do like and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Plus, share with any colleagues or friends who may be interested. It's just left for me to thank our corporate sponsors. This episode of Charity Chat has been brought to you by our platinum sponsor, Work for Good. Work for Good is a fundraising platform helping businesses raise funds for charities through their sales. The platform makes the legal agreement needed for businesses to fundraise from sales quick and simple, saving charities time and resource and enabling them to raise more unrestricted income. Pop to workforgood.co.uk to learn more and to book a free demo. Also like to thank Giant Squid Audio Lab for sponsoring our podcast kit, Magda Axsmith for our beautiful website, check it out at charitychat.org.uk. Also Forrester Fools for playing throughout the show and for playing us out right now. That's it from me. Keep on doing what you can. Speak to you soon. Cheerio. Bye-bye.